think I'd like to start with just a word of prayer, if you'd pray with me. Eternal Father, you have words to speak to us today. We pray that your word will be made known unto us. I ask that you will speak through me, that you will make yourself known to us in our lives, that you will speak that which we have come to hear. We pray in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the title of the sermon is Baby Changes Everything. And I have to tell you, I'm an older parent. And my husband and I decided at an older age to adopt a small child. Now, I had watched many people raise children. I had watched my own brother and sister have their children and begin to raise them. And I thought I knew what was coming. I had no clue. There is no book. There is no amount of watching. There is no amount of paying attention to other people that can possibly prepare you for how a baby changes your life. Now, I want to suggest to you today that the same thing is true when the baby Jesus comes into our lives. How do you explain to anyone what it is to be transformed by the power of God when Christ touches you? You can't. You can tell them it's something wonderful. You can tell them it's an amazing thing. You can tell them your life has been changed profoundly. But you cannot fully explain to anyone the incredible experience of knowing the Christ. We're going to talk a little bit today about Jesus, the baby born into this world, and how Jesus came to change our world so profoundly and transform our own individual lives. The text that we're going to be looking at today is actually, I think, kind of a difficult text. It is the lectionary for today, and that's why I'm preaching on it. But I have to tell you, this is not the most upbeat text that you're going to find in Scripture. In fact, when I was reading it through, I kept saying to myself, okay, where is the good news here? Where is the peace that I can latch onto and say, now I feel empowered. Now I feel strengthened. Now I feel hope. Now I get it. And I had to struggle a long time to get to that peace. Before we go into the text, which, by the way, is coming from Matthew 2, starting with verse 13, and if you want to open it up in your pew Bibles, it's page 784. Before we go into that, I want to tell you a little bit about what Matthew has been teaching prior to this and what he's telling us about Jesus. He has gone through the whole description of the amazing things that happened when Jesus was born, the miracles. And for any of us who have ever sat in a hospital room or spent time with people who are going through difficult things in their lives, we absolutely know miracles happen. You can't explain them. There is no way to know when they're going to happen, how they're going to happen, but you know when a miracle has touched your life. And Mary and Joseph had the wonderful fortune of having miracles touch their lives. They had angels who spoke to them. They had shepherds who came to the birth site of their baby. They had wise men who traveled from Persia and from Babylon. Now, that would be what we know Iran and Iraq today, who traveled from those two countries to bring to Jesus gifts. You know what they brought him? It's kind of amazing. They brought him gold because he was a king. They brought him frankincense because it was a holy substance associated with worship and holiness, and they brought him myrrh, which was used for embalming. We're already beginning to see the purpose of Jesus in this world. Mary and Joseph, this young couple that just had a baby, they have a star in the heavens over where they are as they are in a stable having a child. All of these things and all of the experiences and miracles that they're going through. And now we come to the story for today. It's like turning their world upside down. From miracles to refugees. Now, after they had left, that's the wise men, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you." Now, I got to tell you, I'm thinking about Joseph having this dream and what it means to have a dream in the middle of the night that says, okay, all these people have come to see you. Okay, you have been told you are having the very Son of God come into your family. Okay, you believe all these things, and now I want you to pack up your things and flee in the middle of the night, not just this town, but your entire country, to steal away because your lives are in danger. Now, that's the Joseph part. How about the Mary part? Mary, who just had a baby in a barn, who's had visitors ever since she had the baby, and now in the middle of the night, her husband has come to her and said, "Wake up, we're leaving." "No, we're not leaving town. We're leaving the country." And they leave. Now, God told them to do this because Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. I want to tell you a little bit about this Herod. Herod was known as Herod the Great. And Herod had a Jewish background, a Jewish ancestry, but didn't really practice Judaism. He was associated with the Romans. He was a political power who kind of held things together under the Roman rule. He was an amazing builder. He completely restored the temple. He did things that improved the infrastructure of the country. But at the same time, he was cruel and unpredictable and maybe even mentally ill. I don't know. He made no sense in many of the things that he did. For instance, when he came to rule, he killed 300 of the court officers. He killed a number of the people who were in the Jewish Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish high court. He sent his wife and their very young son, banished them from the kingdom when he found a different woman that he wanted to marry who was good for his politics. He married that woman. Later, he killed her. He killed her mother. He killed their oldest son. Later, he killed two more of his sons. So this is a man who is vicious, really. In fact, even at his death, when he was lying on his deathbed, he ordered that many of the leaders of Jerusalem be killed as he was dying. And his reason for that was so that many would weep when his funeral was taking place. This is the kind of man that God warned them about. Now, he says, Joseph got up, took the child and the mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. Now, Matthew loves to tell us how Jesus has fulfilled the fact that he is the promised Savior. And here's what it says. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And that comes from the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1. You know, there are almost two views of Christmas that we can see here. There's the one view of the angels, of the shepherds, the wise men, the one that's on our Christmas cards that we send out to people. There's another view, and that's Jesus, this tiny little baby, his mother and father escaping into the night to another country to save their lives as this ruler who was gone mad with power seeks to destroy them. What had they done wrong? Well, King Herod found out from the wise men that they believed that Jesus was to be the king of the Jews. And he sought to destroy Jesus because of that. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, they didn't come back to him like they promised they would, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. So this man finds out what age Jesus probably is, based on what the wise men told him. He finds out that this Jesus is probably in Bethlehem, and he sends his soldiers to this little town of Bethlehem to go into the homes of the people there and to do what? To kill children 2 years and younger, all of the boys, every boy 2 years and younger. The soldiers walked into the homes. They took those children and they killed them. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering? Can you imagine the fear that existed for these people? Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And again, another prophecy of what was to happen with Jesus' birth. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. That came from Jeremiah 31:15. You know, I was trying to think about what it must have been like for them, Mary and Joseph, on the run. I don't know what it's like to be refugees. I hear about refugees all the time, all over the world. They're other people. They're not me. They're not anyone I know. They're people who are unfortunate, are different than me somehow. The closest that we have experienced to what it is to be a refugee, the closest little bit that we've had here in San Diego was the recent fires. You remember all the people who had to leave their homes and in a moment's notice. What that must have felt like to leave everything behind. And then they couldn't go back. And they didn't know when they could go back. And they didn't know whether their things still existed or didn't exist. They didn't know where all their families were. They couldn't find their pets, their beloved refugees. A little tiny taste of it. I so am trying to think what it must be like to go from angels singing above you to being refugees, fighting for your lives, running from this crazy madman. And again, two views of Christmas. You know, it's a little what my life is like, too. Two views of Christmas. I think Christmas should be, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, I'm sipping on a little bit of warm apple cider. There's a beautiful fire that's glowing in front of me. My family's all around. We're all getting along. We're all happy. Everything's good. This is my Christmas, what it's supposed to be. But on the flip side of that, there's real life. There are struggles. There are hardships. There are health issues, there are marriages that aren't making it, there are children who are being mistreated, there are refugees all over in the world, there is pain and suffering, and I feel it in my life too, and I wonder, how do you put together the picture of Christmas the way that I see it on the cards and I think it ought to be, and what I'm really experiencing in my own life? How do you put those two together and make sense out of it all? Where's the good news? Because I'm not living in that Christmas card. And suddenly I realized I have moments when I have the Christmas card. I have moments when I feel the miracle of Christ in my life. I have moments when my whole family is getting along and everyone is happy. I have moments when everyone is healthy and well. I have moments when I know what's happening in my life and what's going on. And those are the Christmas card. Those are the gift. Those are the promises from God. The moments. And along with that, I'm with Mary and Joseph. Sometimes I'm a refugee. Sometimes I'm fleeing for my life. Sometimes I'm hanging on by my fingernails. Sometimes my family's a mess. Sometimes people are sick and needy. Sometimes things aren't so good. But all of that time, God is present. And I realize suddenly that life is a mixture of both things. It's a mixture of those incredible moments that we hang on to and treasure. And it's a mixture of the hard struggles that we go through and take the depths of our soul to find our way through. We are blessed because we have incredible moments of the presence of the baby Jesus. We are changed, transformed forever because of the birth of this Christ. Now, like you, I can't explain to anyone what it is that's so different about my life. Because they can look at me and they can say, you've got troubles, you've got problems, you make mistakes, things don't go right for you all the time, and it's absolutely true. So what's so great about being a Christian? What is it? What is it that's so powerful about this baby born into our world? And I want to tell you today, I can't explain it, but all of us who have had that happen, we all know. We all know that when Jesus moves in your heart, when your soul is touched by the Christ child, you are changed forever. Just like a baby coming into your life, you can't make sense of it to anyone else, but you know. And for all of us who have struggled, because Christmas maybe wasn't that postcard that you get in the mail, I proclaim the glory of Jesus in the midst of the struggle and the wonder of the moments that we are all given. I think one of my favorite texts in Scripture is from Philippians. You know the one where it talks about whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is beautiful, think on these things. It's a funny thing. God seems to be right. We have good and beautiful and wonderful and amazing things in all of our lives. They're mixed in with the other stuff. And we have to decide, that is what I'm going to think about. That is what I'm going to treasure and remember. That is the gift from God to me on this day. On that note, we thank Him, we praise Him, we worship Him. We are able to say, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Amen. Let us pray. Our holy, eternal God, sometimes we forget what we've been given. Sometimes we get all caught up in what we think should be. Sometimes we get focused on the things that are wrong and we forget about the things that are right. Will you transform our minds, Lord? We present them to you today. Transform our thinking, that in all things we might praise you. that in all things we might see your hand, that in all things we might trust your goodness, that in all things we might know that you are the Lord God of all that is. We praise you today. We pray for our world. You know its struggles and hurts. We pray for refugees all across this globe, that you would be with them, that you would watch over them as you watched over Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. We pray that you would move our hearts to think about those in the world who struggle and hurt far more than we do. We pray, Lord, that your will would be done in our lives and in our world. We pray, Lord, for this church right here in Pacific Beach, California, that your Spirit might be poured out among us and that we might touch the lives of people around us with the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for healing and power and love and hope, and that all of this might be made known through our lives. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus, who taught us to pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.